Welcome back. Hour number three. It's, are you listening, Emilio? The Drive on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5. And it is 1950 Tuesday.
This is the biggest challenge I've taken on.
And it has been brilliant so far. I can't tell you. This is the thing I respect about you more than any of your other considerable talents.
That's fair.
Is the music stuff you've been doing.
I had to dig deep because on the surface, 1952, terrible.
Yeah, well.
Faith and Rosemary Clooney.
Yeah. I get it.
Ah, come on. Rosemary Clooney was fine.
Excuse me, we haven't introduced you yet. How many times have you done this show?
Many, many times, yes. Gloriously.
Yes. Our buddy Emilio San Martin joins us. Raconteur extraordinaire. How's that?
There you go.
That's pretty good.
I like it very much. The Devil May Care sort of sound to it. I dig that.
Because all of us don't really care about anything anymore right now.
No. That is true. Gone is any thoughts of caring about just about anything these days.
Yeah. Well, there are certain things we care about. Let's start with one of them.
Yes, wine. Let's talk about it.
Okay. Let's move past the wine for right now. We can come back to that, maybe.
Fine.
How much, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you hate Rob Manfred?
Right about now, especially after his most recent revelation, would give it on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the highest level of disdain.
Yeah.
For the man, I would say it's an 11.
A 30. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's where we are, too. Last night, we talked about this a little earlier in the show. Watching him with Greeny last night made me absolutely furious listening to what he was saying. Furious.
Yeah. It's an embarrassment. You know, we talked to a couple of weeks ago, we spoke of things like, at a time of darkness, at a time of despair in this country for various reasons, we know that sports isn't the priority, but it would certainly be a nice thing to happen for people to have a nice, pleasant distraction, a nice, pleasant diversion for people. It is within the powers of Mr. Manfred to do so. It is within a power of both sides, the players and, of course, the owners to do so. The players are certainly much more in line with what needs to happen. Manfred and the owners are not. They have a chance now. Manfred is basically the focal point of everything right now, and I just don't have any confidence that he's going to do the right thing.
Yeah, and I was talking to Sean about this before. Watching Tim Kirkjian this morning, who is one of the absolute treasures, I think, in sports media, and I don't think anybody would quibble with that. It was so sad to watch him talk about this and hear it. And the thing he kept coming back to was, Manfred is supposed to be there for the good of the game. That's what the commissioner, yes, he works for the owners, but everything, it's like, where's Faye Vincent when we need him?
Right.
True. Everything should be about the good of the game, and nothing the owners and Rob Manfred are doing is for the good of the game. Nothing.
Yeah, I mean, look, at this point, I'd take, see if there's a way we can bring back kind of Saul Mountain Landis.
I don't know. That may be a little too far, but okay, go ahead.
Well, I mean, at this point, a ham sandwich would do a better job than what's happening right now. I just don't. Look, we need optimism. Mm-hmm. We need to see positive things across the board for many, many reasons, like I've said.
Yep.
This could be one of them. And this is a simple, certainly far more simple a thing to take care of than the things that this world is facing now and been facing,
mm-hmm.
been dealing with. This is a layup. This is a simple, simple thing. And it is of a sport that is far less contract-driven than the other two major sports that are looking to make a return and complete their seasons here in the next month or so.
Mm-hmm.
This is an easy situation with the right preparation, with the right safety guards in place. they can do a good thing. It's insane. But here's the thing, though. It's not just the possibility, of, and sadly, what is clearly looking like it's going to be the likelihood of no season in 2020. The ramifications for this are huge. The ramifications for this moving forward, as we're facing a major negotiation after the collective bargaining agreement is to be after next season, is huge. It could cost what happens this year could create so much bad blood and so much tension between both sides that you could be looking at not just this season being cost, but possibly the 2022 season and beyond. Who knows?
Okay, I'm going to go jump off a bridge right now.
Well, I certainly don't mean to be. You know me; I'm a positive person. I'm an optimist.
You are.
I don't mean to be. Yeah. I don't mean to be the joker. And 2 weeks ago, I had a little bit more positive outlook, with some trepidation, with some hesitation, but I did believe that they would find something positive.
Right.
The owners, the players, have basically thrown their hands up and said, "You know what? Just tell us when and where, and we'll be there."
But and even that wasn't good enough.
No, and even that's not good enough. That at the very least, that conciliation, that concession, I should say, by the players should have prompted Manfred to say, you know what, I hear you guys. I'm going to meet you guys in the middle. Let's do that 89 game season. Let's not do the 48 game season. Let's do an 89 game season.
Right.
That could have been an easy thing to do.
Yep.
And they didn't. And negotiations that took place in March that led to the agreement between the players' union and the league. That would have guaranteed them at that point, not knowing what kind of a season, if any season, was going to happen, that they would be guaranteed a certain level of prorated salaries. Mm-hmm. And the owners have backed off on that. The league has backed off on that. So there's distrust. There's a lot of, behind the door shenanigans and mudslinging and things of that nature. I tend to side with the players right now. Without question. And shame on the league for making it difficult. Shame on Rob Manfred for not doing the right thing.
Well, if history means anything to him, he is going to. History will not look kindly upon him.
No.
I don't think he really cares at this point, but, you know.
And it's not even just so much that he's not doing the right thing. He's not doing the right thing and then trying to shift the focus back onto the players to make it look like they're the ones that are not doing the right thing.
That whole thing about the health and protocol that he said last night is just a lie.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Yeah, it is a lie. It is a lie. It's absolutely a lie. And I'm so sick and tired of people who are not medical experts acting like insane people.
Yeah.
Create the illusion that, I am not a medical expert. I am not going to tell you what's right and what's not, what's proper safety protocol. I can use my common sense by listening to the medical experts.
Mm-hmm.
What he said last night was absolutely wrong.
Yeah.
It was absolutely wrong. There are ways of doing this. There are ways of doing this the correct way. Sure, you may not have fans in the stands, but there are ways of doing this so that at least the people who love baseball, like ourselves, have that option, and they're just not doing it. And it's very disappointing. Like I said, shame on them because it's really disappointing. Bud Selig drew a lot of flack for allowing an all-star game to end up in a tie.
Yeah, yeah. In the good old days.
In the good old days. Cut a lot of flack for that. His successor is facing a situation where it could really destroy baseball to a very, very large degree.
Yeah.
Again, we may not have a 2020. We may have a 2021 because that is part of the collective bargaining agreement, and God willing, we will be in a better place with the pandemic and the civil unrest, the racial situation, which is another issue as well.
Mm-hmm.
We are dealing with in this country some tremendously difficult situations, two of them simultaneously, and it is frightening.
Yeah.
People need to be alleviated of that fear, even if it's just the simple thing of hearing the crack of the bat, watching it on TV. That would go at least some way.
Yeah.
But there's no guarantee that even if Manfred said, okay, let's do that 89-game season. Certainly not if he does the 48- or 50-game season. I don't think a lot of the players would come back.
Well, that's the other part of it. They made a really good point this morning on most of the shows, and I agree with this. Let's say they did, just to pick a number, 64 games, which a lot of people say is not that many. But if they did it the right way, if you had a 64-game regular season, and then you'd have to allow, say, 16 teams into a playoff. And again, this year would not be, it's like we've been talking about the Triple Crown.
Yeah.
It's not the Triple Crown this year.
No.
This would not be, obviously a normal World Series champion, but it could be really fun. I mean, it would be really intense for 64 games. The first game you play would have enormous consequences. And then if you had 16 teams in a playoff, it could be great. It could be great.
It could be fantastic. It could be very, very exciting. It would be a one-off this year, although the players did say that, be modified. In their most recent proposal, they did say that the expanded playoff team list for this year would also be in play for next season as well. For whatever reason, I'm not sure why they were going to do that, but that's okay. Mm-hmm. The reality is it would be a lot of fun. It would be something good. It would be something entertaining. How would you rather see something like that? Would you rather see an 89-game baseball season right now with that expanded playoff, or would you rather watch...
See, nothing.
Nothing. Would you rather watch people play video games, NBA video games?
Yeah.
Would you rather watch, cornhole championships from 1996?
I don't know. Those are pretty great, Emilio.
Those are some pretty heated. What is going to be brought? What is next? Are they going to show curling championships from the 50s? I mean, there's only so much that these major sports. Look, ESPN's a great. Great venue, terrific. I mean, I love ESPN. I've done work for ESPN. You guys are ESPN. I love it, but I there's not much that they can do. I mean, they're plugging holes as best they can.
Oh yeah,
but there are a lot of leaks in that. Like, there's only so much programming that they can pull out of certain areas,
right?
That will appease the average viewer.
Yeah,
there are a lot more soccer fans coming out of the woodwork these days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And now we got
going to get a lot more this week.
They
too.
Will this week, English Premier League, and you'll have more people watching that. All right, we only got about 4 minutes left. I want to talk to you because among the many things you're one of our experts on is golf, and we had our first tournament this year. I just wanted to get your thoughts. My thoughts are to have the leaderboard we have on Sunday for almost the entire final round. And have it come down to two power lip-outs and then Daniel Berger. And this is nothing against Daniel Berger and Colin Morikawa. I mean, they're both tremendous talents. But it was the whole thing was kind of surreal, but I thought it was great.
Yeah, I mean, look, it was exciting. It was a great finish. It was exciting. Berger, I mean, this job, of course. It was exciting. Look, it was just nice to see something.
Yeah.
to see people back on the links that apart from the recent match play with Brady and
Manning, that was different. That was great, but it was different. Right.
Very different. This is another. This is again. When we said this before, look, golf is one sport easily of the five or six major sports we're dealing with here at any given time. Golf is the easiest one to do without spectators. You don't have to have people following in the gallery. In fact, I'm sure a lot of the players would prefer that. I can definitely think of several that would prefer that. But Berger holding off Morikawa, I mean, that was a terrific finish. It was a terrific finish. It was great to see. You got a little taste of Justin Rose in there in the tournament. A lot of people don't know Daniel Berger. A lot of people don't know Morikawa.
Mm-hmm.
They will. Yeah, they will. I absolutely think they will. But Jordan Spieth was in the top 10. You had some names that people are familiar with, and it was nice to see them out in the links. Whether watching them on TV, but it was nice. It was just good to see, and it was great to see. It's great to see golf back.
I agree 100%.
Absolutely,
100%. All right. well, we will catch up with you. I'm hoping that we can talk to you. Like within a few days when they announce that we will have baseball. That's what you'll be the first call we make.
Yeah, it would be nice. I know I've actually got to venture outside of my gulag here in Miami. Not to go to Georgia. It's a dangerous proposition for me. And I know the next tournament is in South Carolina. These are three states where the governors are trying to kill all of their constituents.
Yes.
So I may not be back. I may not be back. I have no idea what awaits me.
Oh, boy. We'll find you wherever you are. We'll find you.
Please do.
All right.
Please do.
Thanks. We're sending our love. Take care.
Love right back to all of you. Stay safe.
Okay. Emilio San Martin, everybody. This is a fun day. We got good lineup. You know why? Because Wick Terrell's coming up next.
Continuing on the baseball theme, we'll see if Wick is less or more perturbed than Emilio.
He should be the commissioner.
Yeah.
I've always said he should be the general manager, but he should be the commissioner. And he thinks so, too. We'll find out why. This is ESPN Sports Radio 1300 92.5 The Drive, brought to you by Dan Cummins in Paris and Georgetown.